On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
The 2021 NFL Draft has concluded, and it's been a whirlwind. Three big days for the Washington football team, and we got to talk to Washington football team head coach Ron Rivera. We're going to start the podcast with that, and then we're going to break down all of the day three picks. There were lots of them. Some of them make a ton of sense. Some of them might leave you scratching your head. But overall, how do we feel? It's time to figure that out. Washington Football Talk podcast starts now. What up, everybody? It's JP Finley. It's Washington Football Talk Podcast. It is the conclusion of the 2021 NFL Draft. It's been fun. It's been long. It's been a grind. Washington added a bunch of good players and maybe some other guys. We will find out. Mitch Tischler and Pete Haley are here. Me and the boys are going to react to every pick. We're going to start, though. I got to talk to Ron Rivera after the draft about what he thought his team accomplished, who these guys are, and how they help. Let's dive right into Ron Rivera. Before we do that, I want to thank Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Want you to do the same thing. Check them out, OrsmanVA.com. Six locations all across Northern Virginia. They got whatever car you need. You can lease it. You can buy it. You can sell your car to them. They can fix them up in their service shops. They can do anything you need. All right, enough of us. Let's go to Ron. Always a sincere pleasure to get to talk to Washington football team head coach, Mr. Ron Rivera. The 2021 NFL draft is closed. This is your second with the team, but in some ways it's kind of the first with your arms completely wrapped around this organization every way you want it to be. How do you feel about this draft?
I feel very confident in this draft. I do. I mean, you never really know, the proof will be in the pudding once we start playing football. But the things that were done, the preparation that led up to this was, I thought, was first rate. You know, first of all, kudos to Mr. Snyder for allowing us to put together what I feel is a very good personnel staff. I mean, Martin, Marty, are outstanding, and having Eric Stokes in position as our director of player personnel, and then you add Tim Gribble and Chris Pullian as our college and pro directors, and you feel very confident in their experience as a group. They're all new to it together, but they bring a lot to the table. And I thought the scouts did a yeoman's work because of the situation that they had to work under. You know, we had COVID for the football season, which limited a lot of things that they couldn't do. Then there was no combine. They limited the way you could come to pro days. Then they had to be socially distanced as they worked in person with masks on. That was difficult. But they worked through it, and they gave us an opportunity to have what looks to be a good, solid draft. And then, as I said, we'll know once we start playing football.
Certainly. And before maybe we get into specifics, two things I couldn't help but notice. Character is something you always talk about. Culture. You see these picks. You drafted two team captains. Your first round pick is a military guy that went to bed early on the night he was drafted. You drafted a guy that's placed in the 93rd percentile of dental school. All these people seem to be really high caliber humans beyond the football player aspect. And then speed and athleticism seem to be a priority. If you look at their overall athletic scores, or you just look at straight line speed, was that a focus for you going in?
That was most certainly something we thought about and talked about, especially when you start talking to the coordinators. Nate Kaxer, he wanted team speed. Listening to Jack talk about team speed, listening to Scott talk about team speed. And it started with once we got into free agency. If you look at the guys that we brought in, same type of football players, guys that were athletic, guys that were explosive, guys that had a position flex. But also character most certainly was part of it. Because again, we talked about, when we've talked about it since we got started here, of building a sustainable winning culture. That is something that we always talk about, is how does that person fit? We talked about several guys that had some issues, some situations, circumstances. We didn't talk very long. We moved on, and that's how we're going to approach it, because we want to do it the right way, more so than anything else.
The first four picks, your first round through the third round, did you have any tough decisions there going Davis, Cosme, St. Juice, and then Diami Brown? Or when those guys were there, was it pretty clear what you wanted to do?
It was pretty clear what we wanted to do. And in a couple of these situations, a couple of those guys were part of the original stacking. And so when you sat there and you looked at it and said, oh gosh, he's still at this is a no-brainer. You know what I'm saying? So it was easy for us because, again, we let the scouting speak for itself. We let the board show us what we had done and how we had placed these guys. And so we stuck to the process and we stayed with the process. And I think if you trust in the work that's been done and you go with your gut instinct, I think we have a chance to be right. So we'll see. Like I said, we won't know until we start playing football in September.
Through some league sources, I know I was able to gather that you guys were awfully high on a wideout Friday night. Now, you have done such a good job of making sure nobody in your building talks to me that I couldn't get the wideout's name. How much did you like Diami Brown? Let me just say it like that.
We love the speed. We love the playmaking ability. One of the things that stood out to me was his, and there was, I saw it, I wish I kept it and wrote it down, but there was a thing about his contested catches. Okay. And I did say this too, though, he had some concentration drops. Sure. That were balls that should not have dropped, but his contested catches is what stood out. And another guy like that was Terry McLaurin, his contested catches. Those are guys that are going to make plays when you need them the most. Those are the guys that you get excited about.
I don't want to slow you down with every pick. There were other tight ends on the board. You go with John Bates. What stood out for him?
Was his ability to block. He's a polished blocker we think can get better, and that's exciting. But he has a tremendous catch radius, but he didn't catch a lot of balls because they didn't throw a lot of balls his way. One of my questions to John was, hey, shouldn't they have thrown more balls to you? And he said, Coach, I just did what they asked me to do because it's important. That's what the team needed me to do. And I thought, what a great answer that is. I mean, you know, that's a very unselfish football player, the type of guy you want on your football team. We think he's got a high ceiling. We think he's got great potential. And again, he's a guy that we really believe is going to fit in and help our football team.
Offensive line, you've got Cosme there. Last year, there was a lot of talk about Sadiq Charles as the left tackle. Does he become a guard? What do you, in your dream scenario, you just traded for Ereck Flowers. What does this offensive line look like if everything breaks right?
Mean and nasty. That's what you want. Who's going to play left tackle? We'll find out. Who's going to play, you know, left guard? We're going to find out. Who's going to play on our offensive line? We will find out. This is about competition and putting the best guys on the field. And that's what we've created, the opportunity to compete and see who our starters are and hopefully win a bunch of games with those guys leading us.
No quarterback in this draft. I'm not particularly surprised. How confident are you with Ryan Fitzpatrick, Taylor Heinicke, Kyle Allen going forward?
I'm very confident. I think we've got guys that can manage games when they need to be managed and guys that can go out and make plays when they need to be made. And I like what we've done in terms of being able to put guys in front of them to protect them and then guys around them as playmakers. I think we're going to give our guys opportunities and chances. Now, again, we don't know till we start playing in September. We've got to coach our butts off to make sure we're ready to roll once the season starts.
You can't pick Davis and you can't pick Cosme because those are your first two picks. Who is Jack Del Rio's favorite pick in this draft?
All of them.
Are you going to say the same for Scott Turner and ruin my game?
Without a doubt.
Okay. The timeline going forward, you've got the rookies coming in or the veterans coming in. Do you know those answers? When do you get your hands on this team?
Well, I know this much. Phase two starts on the 17th. That is the first opportunity we get to get on the field with them, and we'll go from there. I know that, we're trying to do everything by the book. We're doing everything that we're being allowed to do. So right now, our phase one is for 4 weeks, and that is all virtual. With guys that want to be here, they get to work with our strength conditioning departments and our trainers without coaches being around. And again, it's strictly voluntary. You know, we're not putting any pressure on anybody to show up. And then again, when we get to week five, which starts on May 17th, it's the first chance and first opportunity we as a coaching staff get to get with our guys, start doing walkthroughs and installations. So we're pretty excited about that opportunity. And then we start the OTA practices on May 24th. And then I believe it's June 14th is when we have our mandatory mini camp. So there's going to be plenty of opportunity for us to coach our guys, plenty of opportunity to be around our guys. But we just got to finish phase one before we get to phase two.
Understood. Ron, thank you very much for the time. I imagine you're wiped out, and congrats on your new draft class.
No, I appreciate it, JP. Thanks a lot. And again, this should be fun. Very excited about our football team, and really do appreciate the work that went into this from all of our departments here with the Washington football team.
Well, and from what these guys say, from what the rookies are saying, you made a lot of calls too. They loved the one-on-one Zooms.
That was fun. You know, it really was. There were some really heartfelt moments that were really cool. It's funny. I would tell the guy, hey, you're going to be a Washington football team member. And they were excited, and they forgot to tell their families. I said, well, you're going to tell them? Tell your family. And then they would tell them. And it's exciting to hear the enthusiasm in which they told their family members and their responses. I mean, it's really cool. It's cool to have the opportunity to listen in on a very poignant moment in a young man's life and career.
Absolutely. Can I tell you one thing?
Yeah.
You owe Cheese Man a hat, because he was so excited to join Washington after he talked to all of you guys that he went out and bought the hat on his own so he could have it when the call came in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He knew it, huh? He expected it.
He might have bought a few hats, but he definitely had a Washington hat.
That's interesting. We'll make sure he gets reimbursed for that.
All right. Thank you very much, Ron.
All right, JP.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
That's good.
3, 2. All right, we're back, boys. You heard the coach. Mitch and Pete are here now. I think we start with overall reactions. And the thing that stands out most to me is that Ron, and you can say Martin Mayhew, we talked to a lot in this process, Marty Herney, the assistant coaches, the rest of the front office, whatever you want. I'm saying Ron. Ron has a type. I said it to him. He wants good character, and he wants speed and athletes. That is, if I had to have one central thesis of the 2021 NFL draft, that is my thesis.
That was definitely something that he harped on, and you could tell each pick that he took that those athleticism stats and the character guys were the guys he was going after. To me, the biggest thing that stood out was how interactive Ron was with the draftees. I mean, you go even into the fifth and I think even sixth rounds, and these guys were talking about Ron was taking the time to do one-on-ones with these players, and this was in the pre-draft process. So, you know, it was obviously with more than just the guys that they drafted because they didn't know who was going to fall to them. Maybe it's the world of Zoom and coaches have more time and there's more of an opportunity to do these kinds of things, and maybe this is how our world is changing, that there's more, opportunity to be interactive with folks, but certainly the amount of time that head coaches spend with potential draftees doesn't seem to be nearly as high as it was. And if you go back to the previous regime, which we've talked enough about, Bruce Bleepin' Allen, but that the Washington football team was well known to take players that they weren't linked to and hadn't talked to. Right? Every year there was
because they're so clever and they have to surprise everybody.
Exactly. They need to show that they're the smartest people in the room. Ron sat down face-to-face with a long snapper in the sixth round. I mean, it doesn't get much deeper of a cut than that, and I think that stood out to me, and I thought that was impressive from Ron to take all that time and have those meaningful one-on-one conversations.
In addition to the points that you guys made, one thing I was thinking about as I was driving over here was, aside from Jamin Davis, there's a lot of guys with a lot of experience. Sam Cosmi, 30-plus starts. Derek Forrest played a ton for Cincinnati. William Bradley King was at Arkansas State for a few seasons before finishing up at Baylor. Shaka Toney is eighth all-time in sacks in Penn State, so he played a bunch there. Deami Brown had over 1,000 yards last two seasons in North Carolina. So speed, athleticism, but also guys that played a ton in school, so you feel like hopefully these coaches and scouts had a lot of tape to evaluate and have a really good feel for who these dudes are and who they will become with the Washington football team.
All right. That's the big kind of big picture look at everything. I want to run through all the picks. First round pick at number 19, Jamin Davis, linebacker from Kentucky. Second round pick, number 51, Sam Cosmi, tackle from Texas.
Woo!
74th pick, third round, Benjamin St. Juste, a defensive back who they pretty much made clear as a safety from Minnesota. Another third-round pick, Deami Brown, wide receiver from Carolina. Then Saturday's action starts with John Bates, tight end from Boise State. Fifth round, 163, Derek Forrest, a safety from Cincinnati. I really enjoyed his interview. Sixth rounder that they traded up to get, Cameron Cheeseman, long snapper out of Michigan, who almost was a dentist. Three seventh-round picks. You ready? William Bradley King, a D-end out of Baylor. Shaka Toney, a D-end out of Penn State. And Dax Milne, a wide receiver out of BYU. That is your 2021 draft class. There's going to be more UDFAs. We'll get to them. This podcast will go for 4 hours if we start including those guys. So let's try to limit it to the people I have named the draft class. Let's start with Bates. Listen, I know the Miami kid was on the board, right?
He was.
Is it Brevin Jordan?
Yep.
Brevin Jordan was on the board. We asked Ron. We asked Martin. They don't care. They want somebody that's a blocker that they believe has good hands. And you know what? I couldn't help but think about Jay Gruden in that moment.
I appreciate that, JP. Thanks for thinking of me, man. I'm really sad I can't work with Trevor Lawrence this year.
Do you remember the infamous breakfast, the owners' meeting breakfast in Arizona, where all we all remember is straight from the teat? Sure.
Yeah.
But do you remember earlier in that breakfast, and I hope I'm not confusing it with Orlando the year before, but I don't know. But he talked about how their tight end situation was so bad that it gave away their look when they tried to go 12 personnel, when they had two tight ends on the field, because they knew
who the blockers were and who the catchers were.
Right. And listen, it's okay to have a blocker. It's a fourth round blocker, which is kind of heavy, but they love his hands and they think he has a ton of potential. So if you can have a guy that's actually a willing, capable, excited blocker, Logan Thomas is a baller. He tries like hell in the blocking, in the run game. He's not the best, but he's trying.
He's a quarterback at heart. He hasn't done a whole lot of that in his career.
Nobody knows what the hell Samus Reyes is going to be.
Right.
Marcus Ball is under contract. You can criticize the pick, and I get it, but the thing I would point out is these are the same people that a year ago signed Logan Thomas, had confidence in him, and I guess at that specific position – they took him over Brevin Jordan. Like, they made the choice, and they're comfortable with it. We'll have to find out what it means. But, I mean, Mayhew got asked about it tonight, and he's like, yeah, we think he's a really good blocker, and that's why we took him.
Yours truly, right over here in the black Puma shirt.
Was it in your one-on-one, or was it?
Oh, it was with JP. That was an awesome story that JP got out of Ron.
No, but Mayhew said specifically, he's slow. He doesn't have that straight line speed, and he's a blocker. But yes,
you know who doesn't have straight line speed? Me.
You're also not an NFL player.
Right.
None of us are.
Do you have speed in any direction?
I'm oddly laterally quick.
What? Gonna have to fact check that. Okay.
Dude, have we ever played tennis?
Yeah, I killed you in Dallas, remember?
But I'm quick side to side.
Yeah, it was hard to get the balls by you. You were just faulting all over the place.
I can't. My serve is
it's weak. Lacking. Yeah. Mitch always talks about playing tennis. I'd love to play tennis with Mitch.
I bet Mitch has a big boy serve.
Oh, yeah. I'll show you some. And not much else.
Deep breath, swing hard.
I'll show you some quickness too.
Go ahead, Mitch. Will take the under on that. Whatever your quickness ratio is, I'll take the under.
Let's play.
Done.
Okay. The story that he told you though, talking about how
unselfishness,
and it just he's a Ron Rivera player. He's a guy, and
great, and I love the story, but it's a fourth round. You want to sell me an unselfish story in the sixth round? I love it.
I entirely agree with you, and I think they needed to get a blocking tight end who could also potentially catch the ball, so it wasn't a dead giveaway like when Jeremy Sprinkle was on the field and others over the years. But
Sprinkle couldn't really catch.
Hello,
that's what I'm saying.
Go ahead.
Todd McShay said he had the best catch radius aside from Pitts in the entire draft.
I thought he said hands.
Those catch radius, hands, ball skills. That
catch radius versus hands is different.
Well, Martin,
look up the quote.
Martin
look up the quote.
Referenced catch radius, whether it's hands or catch radius, whatever. Right. That's important. I mean, I know his stats are very underwhelming and that he's primarily going to be used as a blocker, but that suggests he has room to grow. They're banking on what he can do versus what he did. I understand maybe it's a little bit of a reach, especially when you're looking at Brevin Jordan's highlights a few picks later and he's running all over the field.
McShay's quote, I think he catches the ball as well as any tight end in this class besides Pitts.
Yeah.
That said, the rest of this tight end class isn't very good. Like, it's Pitts, and then there's the Sahara Desert, and then there was Friermuth or whatever.
Okay, I mean, there's MJ, and there's a Sahara Desert, and then there's all the other players. Like, it's okay to be second behind Pitts. You're not going to match him.
To your point, here's what I was going to say, and we did this the other night when we talked about Jamin Davis. Like, we can pick a lot of faults, right?
It's also a fourth rounder. There's going to be faults.
If this kid can be Logan Paulson, like, if he can be a guy that's on your roster for 4 or 5 years, like a contract and maybe a second one, that's value. Like, we always think everybody has to be a star. They're trying to fill out their roster. They had a big hole at tight end. Right now, it's Samus Reyes and Marcus Ball after Logan Thomas. Logan Thomas isn't under contract next year. Logan Paulson, just for the comparison, was an undrafted guy that was in D.C. for 5 years and then had an 8-year NFL career. Yeah. Like, I think Ron is trying to start building rosters with good NFL players before he's worried about all home runs all the time.
Yeah, I mean,
and maybe that's why they like this.
Sprinkle had one catch last year. This guy's going to be a little bit more involved.
It was a great catch, though.
I don't even remember it was that good. He's probably going to be a better blocker than Sprinkle. Sprinkle was very average and underwhelming in all sorts of areas. I like this pick okay. Sure, it's not as flashy as some of the Miami guys, but whatever.
My bigger point was that it fills a need, and clearly by trading back into this draft, next year's fifth for this year's extra sixth and seventh, you can tell that Ron is trying to fill out a roster. I think that we've all seen the depth deficiencies that this team has had for the better part of a decade-ish. And I think you see Ron trying to fill those holes. My only point specific to this pick was that I think you could get a blocking tight end with decent hand, with better than Jeremy Sprinkle hands, whatever you want to call it, later than the fourth round. I think that was a
I think he can catch
could've...
better. And I also think he only played three games. He had, what, a hammy injury?
Hamstring injury.
If he had had a real senior year, I think maybe that changes how we feel. But if he'd had a real senior year with the blocking and the physical abilities, maybe he doesn't fall to the fourth.
I hope he's good. But
for the folks that aren't thrilled with the pick, I'll just say this. In 4 years at Boise State, he had 47 catches for 579 yards and 2 TDs.
Wasn't targeted in the red zone once.
Brevin Jordan, last year at Miami, had 38 catches for 576 yards and 7 touchdowns.
And a lot of yak.
So, if you want to be mad, like, I do think we get caught up in this, like, hey, you got to trust Ron. You got to trust Ron. You're allowed to have opinions. You're allowed to be like, I don't know if that's the right guy. This other dude was there.
But
it's
also
great to have good hands, but if you're slow and can't separate, the quarterback can't throw you the ball. And I didn't watch enough Boise State games.
You probably watched a little because you had some money on it.
I didn't watch enough Boise State games sober to see how they attack the red zone. But a tight end not being able to get any sort of separation in the Mountain West, in the red zone against Mountain West defenses, leads me to be concerned about how he's going to ever be able to get any sort of separation in the NFL. That being said, this coaching staff did do well at tight end, has done well at tight end in the past. So maybe they know something we don't. On paper, I think they could have gotten a similar player later in the draft and potentially gotten a better player at that spot.
I am a believer, though, and this is even like dumb fantasy. Like, if your guy's there and that's who you want and you believe in him, take him.
Yeah.
And screw the rankings. The rest of it.
Totally. I also think Brevin Jordan might be just one of these Twitter names where
totally
he's just like, all right, some scout loved him, and now every fan's just glomming
Twitter
onto him. Play this back when he makes it into Canton 20 years from now, but there's just certain these day three picks. You're like, Brevin Jordan's the only tight end I've heard of. I want this team to draft him. You never know.
Yo, and that
he's from Miami. It's Boise State. Those are two totally different
schools.
We
get sucked into that too. It's like, oh, well, that dude or this dude. Like
Jabril Cox, you're talking about him as a second round pick like 3 months ago. He managed to the fourth round. Just some of these
JOK
guys.
JOK also.
Right. They just have names and you attach yourself. It's okay to not know who this guy is in John Bates and
so
he can develop into
a
role player.
To that point, before we go to the fifth rounder, Derek Forrest, an all time tweet, or maybe it was just a text from Pete. Pete, who is your guy from North Texas? Jalen Darden. So Pete texted the group, taking Bates over Darden will go down as an all-time draft mistake. One of those what-ifs. Now, he's messing around in our group text thread, but I thought that was funny, and I wanted to note it down.
Well, what did you compare it to, JP?
getting Campbell. Rodgers going one pick ahead of Jason Campbell. We were having fun. Fifth rounder, Derek Forrest, Cincinnati. All this kid wants to be is great at special teams and see what else happens. We asked Mayhew about him later. All he wants him to be is great at special teams and see what happens. In the fifth round, I like it. And I will confess that part of my opinion is now skewed on what I thought was such an awesome interview.
Yeah. The gotcha question you had was very intriguing.
And like, I think you see Ron invested time with this dude. That's why he jumps out. And the one thing, if there was a combine, and there wasn't this year, but the one thing the coaches and scouts and everybody will tell you and is how much they value the interviews at the combine, at the Senior Bowl, in the pre-draft process, when they're allowed to take the visits. Like, they eat that up. And that there's film and then that. And I think with Derek Forrest, after talking to him a little bit and then talking to people about their conversations with him, I'm in. I understand that Indiana safety Jamar Johnson was there. In a way, could be a similar Brevin Jordan situation. We don't know how it's going to go, but I'm not going to not acknowledge the dude was there when they took Derek Forrest. But I'll say this, when we circling back to our character, all that discussion, Derek Forrest was a team captain, four-year player University of Cincinnati that played some good football, man. Like, they were a top 10 team at various points in the
last
couple
years. You
saw
a lot of their secondary players get picked in the past couple of days.
I think Ron likes leadership. I'm cool with Derek Forrest. Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm really going out on a limb there. I like that pick.
I also like the kid stepping in knowing that he's got to make his mark on special teams. There aren't a whole lot of college stars that are humble enough to sit there and know that, you know, maybe they know in theory in their head that they're going to have to play special teams, but to come in and talk about wanting to be the best special teamer that he could be. And Nate Kazzard, you know, who I'm sure has scoured the tape for special teamers, loved this kid as well. I mean, there are times that there are fifth rounders that are questionable whether they may make a roster, or I think that this is a dude that is going to be solidified on this team pretty early.
Well, you wonder, because he's obviously not a free safety and he wants to play special teams. And if you start doing roster math, Collins, Curl, Reeves, Everett, Apke, Forrest.
Here's the thing, though. He said that he's not a strong safety, or he's not a free safety, but I think he also said that most of his picks came on post routes where you're kind of playing a free, even if you're the strong safety, you're running with a wide receiver. You're kind of playing that free safety-ish role. So.
And he's got 4.4 speed. He's not, you know,
so maybe he has
clunky.
The ball skills for it. He just needs to learn how to play that position.
Who's, you know, who might actually be the fastest dude on that defense?
Cincinnati or Washington?
Washington's.
Troy Apke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's not only refer to the speed there.
I know.
But I hear you. I just, I don't know that he answers a major question, which might be the biggest question they still have left, and I want to circle back to that. But two things I wanted to point out from Derek Forrest. He told a story that when he was 10 years old, he bet his sister $50 he'd make it to the NFL.
Strong.
I love that kind of stuff. Like, I love confidence. Like,
you retweeted Cosme, some Cosme relative that tweeted a picture of Sam Cosme's like elementary school book. Yeah, like, I'm going to be an NFL player. It's so
and
awesome.
Some of that's kind of silly because you and I probably did that, Pete, right? Sure, like, did. I probably have a notebook that says I'm going to play for the Redskins, but like, I didn't.
You talk about him.
God bless him. God bless him for remembering that he made that $50 bet.
Sure.
God knows how many bets we make on this
He's
podcast.
He's probably so bitter he didn't make he
cashing
didn't
in.
Bet it for more.
But this is, I have a.
Reason to collect interest on that $50.
I hope so.
A ton of people tweeted me that. Really? Can you pull up his Twitter, Derek Forrest's Twitter?
Yes.
I am going to challenge our listeners right now. First challenge of 2021, I believe. Derek Forrest, so in the course of our interview, which I think was pretty strong from the whole Washington football team beat, I'd say there were like 10, 12 questions, something like that. You guys were both on the call, I think.
Yep.
Whenever he got the question, he would say, gotcha. So like just as a role play, I'd be like, Pete is Derek. I'd be like, all right, Derek, tell us what you think your strengths are in the pass versus in the run.
Gotcha. So when I'm a blah, 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 blah.
Exactly. Everything you said to him, he would respond with an affirmative, like, gotcha. Like, I understand it. And I thought it was cool. And then I asked him about it. And sometimes you don't know, because this is a very real thing. A lot of these rookies that have just been drafted are so overcoached in how to talk to the media and how to talk to coaches by their agent, publicist, whatever. And good for them for taking the draft process seriously and listening. But sometimes everything they say just becomes like canned speak. So I asked him, I was like, hey, Derek, you say gotcha to everything. What's that about? And he's like, oh, well, you know, I consider myself the quarterback of the defense. And when you're on the back end, I just want to make sure the communication is clear. So I make sure that people know when they ask me a question, I understand what they're saying. And I say, gotcha. And it made me think of a number of things. One is how many effing times have we heard any mess up in the secondary be attributed to poor communication? So I loved that. And there's a nickname here. This kid is gotcha.
Yeah.
Anytime he makes a big hit, let's say he's able to grab an interception. Let's say he grabs a fumble on special teams.
Hashtag gotcha.
He's gotcha. He's Derek Gotcha Forrest. So what is his Twitter?
Underscore, which JP hates, at underscore DFOE5, DFOE5.
I want all of our listeners to tweet at him, gotcha.
Your nickname is gotcha. Gotcha, yeah. Gotcha, gotcha.
For the record, I don't know if you guys saw the Sam Cosme rubbing his belly in the Texas locker room video that UT posted, but when he gets on the field, every time he gets a pancake, I'm going to make that my Tressway cheersing and beer, JP's bit. So
Derek Gotcha Forrest.
Derek Gotcha Forrest.
I like it, JP.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
All right. Let's keep it moving.
All right.
Want to thank Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. You should do the same thing. OarsmanBA.com is the website. So
here we go.
They take Derek Forrest. We all think we have like 90 minutes at the pace this draft went because they didn't have another pick till the seventh round. Right?
I took a small nap, I'll be honest.
So did I.
I'll be forthcoming with you guys. I set an alarm and I then woke up there and then set another alarm.
I did not set an alarm. I woke up to your text message, which I purposely turned on the volume and put the phone right next to my ears so that if I needed to wake up for something.
There were naps available. The draft moved very, very slow. But then, and I want to credit, I think Nikki reported it first.
Yeah.
And it's hard. Listen, man, as far as reporting goes on draft day, there's so much happening that I don't know that I retweeted the right people at the right time and whatever. But I think Nikki had the trade first. Nikki Jabala from the Washington Post.
I think she did too.
Washington football team trades up a 2022 fifth rounder for a sixth rounder and an extra seventh. A 2022 fifth rounder for a sixth rounder this year and a seventh rounder.
Yeah,
this
one year. Shot next year versus two shots this year.
And I had in my notes, I've been very good at taking notes lately. You guys should be worried about
this.
That.
I was looking at the copiousness of those notes over there.
I had in my notes prior to the trade, should we talk about the lack of a trade and like, were they being overly cautious or overly chill, whatever you want to say? Then they make this trade. And so I saw my guy Burgundy Blog said, this trade to me looks like them flexing that they love their scouting and their COVID, you know, understanding process of the situation, which is fair. And in my head, I'm wondering maybe they see real value here because there's a run on a position group they like that hasn't hit yet. And then part of me is like, maybe they're expecting some comp picks down the road, but that won't really work because the comp picks would come in 2023. Maybe they don't care about a 2022 fifth. They know they can get back into the fifth next year if they need to. Then they make the pick in the fifth round. And I want to start on a personal level. Like, Nick Sundberg is my actual friend.
Yeah.
Like, I love Nick. And I hated, like, I know he's gone. Like, I know, like, he tweeted out, Rivera talked about it, like, we're moving on. But you ever, like, date a girl and you're like, ah, you never know. And then, like, boom, engagement ring, other fella.
Yeah, you're just scrolling through Instagram one day, you're like, oh, okay. Right. So the door is slammed shut.
And you knew it was over, but then it's over.
Yeah.
You draft the cheese man and it's over. Yeah. And then I'm like, wait a second. Did they just trade up for a long snapper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I asked Ron that, and they kind of didn't answer me.
Kind of doing bits about it. He's like, yeah, I love the cheese man. And then just stopped.
There was weirdly a run on long snappers?
That's the only thing you can think about is that they made the trade early enough in the day that they didn't trade for it after the first long snapper went. So it looks like it's a panic move up to go get the guy. They made that move probably hoping they could get him with the extra seventh.
I don't think so.
You think they traded up specifically to get? Who knows?
I don't think they thought they were going to get him with one of the 3 7. Though I don't know either. But I understand fans' frustration.
People are annoyed about this. Annoyed to pissed.
But also, Ron did his 1-on-1 with a long snapper. Like, Ron took time to have a conversation with the long snapper.
So it's not by accident. When we had, and I don't want to say the cheese man. That's like, I'm not trying to be.
I think it's cheese man.
It is cheese man.
Spelled with an A. It's cheese man.
No, I know.
I read something. He specifically said
you can play the bio too. Yeah. He's not a superhero. Cheese man. He's cheese man.
Cheese man.
Okay. I'm not trying to.
He actually, his first name is Cameron, which is shrimp in Spanish, and so his teammates called him Shrimp Cheeseman.
It's the perfect long snapper name.
It's a long snapper name.
The bit Phillips did with him about dental school on the conference call.
Endless. Quality, but it was endless.
Phillips missed the best bit of that whole thing is that he obviously went to Michigan. You know where he got into dental school?
Buckeyes.
But both.
Both, but he was going to go to Ohio State.
I think the better bit than all that was that he went and bought his own hat.
That is the best bit.
Top bit ever. That's
the best. I hope Ron actually sends him 28.
They need
bucks
to reimburse him. Yeah.
Plus like $4.95 shipping and handling.
Put 100 hats in his locker afterwards.
But let's be real, like, yo, did they trade up for a long snapper?
I mean,
yeah.
I guess it's an important position.
And I put, dude. behind the curtain of like the actual work.
Yeah.
I don't know how I've kind of gotten out of having to do this, but I've kind of gotten out of having to do a lot of the kind of snap by snap, pick by pick, crank a newser out.
Yeah.
And I was just bored. I was bored.
You're trying to stay awake,
this,
honestly.
By the way, this might have been the best thing that happened all draft weekend.
Yeah. I mean, they had 100 picks, and JP volunteered to write one.
I was like, you know what? I got the next guy.
Might
like,
be a corner or a linebacker.
And whatever. Dude, like, in my – I don't know that I need to defend myself. I've written more of these things than all the rest of the folks that write combined. Yep. And I'm happy to do them, and I like doing them. Whatever. None of that's – whatever. but whatever. I was like, you know what? I'll write the next one. No big deal. And then it comes down – did you see my headline? I editorialized a bit.
Yeah, I did.
And I rarely write my headline, but I did on this one.
This hurts.
I said, this one hurts. Washington officially replaces Nick Sundberg at long snapper. I hope Cameron Cheeseman is a really good player and plays here for a decade and can become the type of community leader that Nick Sundberg was. I don't know about taking a long snapper in the sixth round. I don't know about trading up. And I don't know that they traded up. It's a lot of pressure on a long snapper, man.
Yeah, but like you said with Bates, like
tight end, the positional value is a lot different. I think
you're letting let me finish my point.
Well, I rarely do that.
I know. You had Ethan Albright, who was the long snapper for a decade. You had Nick Sundberg, who was a long snapper for a decade. If 10 years from now they're looking to replace Cameron Cheeseman with whoever the next sixth round long snapper is, you're not going to bat too hard of an eye than the fact they took him in the sixth round. So let's hope the young man works out and doesn't have to revert back to dental school and is able to stay here in the district.
At least he's got a plan. Yeah.
It's more Peter? Than you can say for the three of us.
Dog food.
A little bit of a head scratcher. I think a lot of fans were up in arms a bit, but I don't know. I guess
don't cop out.
No, I guess you have to take the field with a long snapper, and it's fine. Like you said, as long as he just is invisible, you don't ever hear the cheese man, you're okay. But replacing Sundberg is going to be hard because that guy was literally perfect and tough and beloved. So good luck to him.
And also a great effing dude.
Yeah. I hope he's ready to chug beers with Tress and Dustin on the next specialist pod.
I would love to know what Nick thinks about trading up. And I should stop saying that because that might be unfair. But taking a long snapper in the sixth round. Yeah. There was a run on long snappers.
Who would have thunk it?
And I'm certainly not trying to belittle the position. I understand its importance.
And we talked about filling out a roster. I mean, that was one of the things that was Ron was working on doing, and that was a need.
All right, seventh round. Everybody can pick one. The Baylor pass rusher, the Penn State kind of pass rusher, kind of linebacker, and the BYU wide receiver. I will take the BYU wide receiver.
All right.
They largely looked for athletic profile, speed, big, strong, jump, three cones, all that stuff. That dude, they didn't care about because you know what he's good at? Catching 150 passes. And he's tough, and he'll make plays.
Mr. Penultimate.
You know who he reminds me of?
Mr. Irrelevant.
It's Trey Quinn.
Yeah.
Interesting
that BYU's quarterback goes second, and BYU's favorite BYU quarterback's favorite target goes second and to last. Friend. I was working on that the whole way here, and I just completely firebombed it. Eesh. That sucks.
My favorite.
Hold on.
Try it again.
Hey, Pete, what do you think about Dax Milne, BYU receiver?
I just think there's some poetry in that BYU's quarterback goes second on Thursday night, and then that quarterback's favorite target goes second to last on Saturday evening.
That's a great point, Pete.
Well done. Gosh.
Stuck the landing.
Such a poignant moment.
Poignant Pete.
For big college football fans.
I don't think that dude's making the team. I'm just going to put it out there.
The receiver room is...
Yeah,
the very crowded.
I'm not going to say who knows. I think I know. Okay. How does he? What's his path to making the team?
And, they have a lot of slot receivers. And I'll add this: guys.
That's okay. Like it's your third, seventh round pick. It's the penultimate pick of the draft. Also, I was texting with somebody about this. We don't know what's going to happen with the practice squad. Are they going to keep it bigger? Are they going to keep it with more availability? I don't know because owners don't like paying extra. But COVID kind of – who knows what COVID will look like this fall.
Once you open that Pandora's box, it's going to be hard to close it.
But 10 players in a draft class, that's a large class. So sure. You can't bank on all 10 making it, especially when, you know, Rivera liked this last
year. Shouldn't. You don't want all 10 to make it because you want your roster to be in a better position than it is to be reliant on all 10.
And you know what? If he doesn't make it, he's the second last pick of the draft. Right. Nobody's going to cry for him.
Exactly. I think that more than anything is where we need to stop ash burning ourselves. Like, that dude doesn't make it, it's okay.
Yeah.
Simi Cobbs gets plucked off the practice squad. The Republic will stand.
Mitch, do you want to take
take your guy?
All right, I'm going to take Shaka Toney because
I thought you were going the other guy.
No, okay, Shaka Toney, my boss, the guy who hired me, Mike Wargo,
the world's greatest boss.
Yeah,
I miss him so much every day. But
you could still like text him, like he's not.
I know.
Dead.
I know.
Sure.
A lot of Penn State
How
fans
do you miss him every day.
I just do. A lot of Penn State fans are really high on this guy.
He has a great Twitter account, by the way.
Wargo.
Yeah.
Long hair Wargo is tripping
it's
me out.
Very odd. It was cool. JP brought this tweet up right before I did. Micah Parsons tweeted kind of in Saturday afternoon, why is Shaka Toney still on the board? Like I said at the beginning of the pod, eighth all time in sacks at Penn State. I think he had five games of multiple sacks. Just taking this guy six picks after WBK, who Mitch will talk about, it's cool. And I'm not naive enough to think they're going to be, you know, superstars, but the thought of Chase Young and Montez Sweat leading the way off the edge and then these two guys being rotational players perhaps, just first and second year players coming off and trying to get to quarterbacks is very enticing. So Shaka Toney, like his name, like his attitude. He said he models his game after Young and Sweat, and he likes watching the best DNs in the league, and there's two of them in Washington. So hopefully he can provide some quality production off the edge. But again, Nittany Lion fans are confused why he was available in the seventh round. So let's see if they are accurate with their analysis.
I think you said earlier the pod, he's eighth all-time at Penn State in sacks.
I said it 20 seconds ago, too.
Did you? Shows how much I was listening.
But here's the question.
Our listeners should know where he stands on Penn State's sack list.
The issue, what I keep hearing people ask, besides YouTube dummies, is he a linebacker rather than like a DN? Like, I just don't know that. I mean, you look at even a guy like James Smith Williams. I'm not going to bring up Chase Young because he's Chase Young and Montez Sweat. But James Smith Williams was a seventh round pick last year. He's 6'4", 265. Toney is listed at 6'3", 250. So he's probably 6'2", 245. I don't know. I've never seen him. But, like, I'm going to let you talk about the Baylor kid. I do think there's a path for these these seventh rounders. There's a path to a roster spot because Anderson's gone. We don't know that Kerrigan's going to be gone. But
limbo.
It seems like it's trending that way. And they got to fill out the roster. And you know, Shaka Toney has shown
something.
An ability to get to the quarterback. In his last two seasons, he's got 11.5 sacks, 15.5 tackles for loss. But, like, those aren't wildly impressive numbers if you're a tweener position-wise.
What?
Well, remember James Smith Williams made impact last year on special teams. And
right.
That's part of the reason why they kept him around, and it's part of the reason why I think you can look at these guys who come in the seventh round and think that they can. There's a path to the roster.
So right. These guys.
Talk about your guy.
Sorry, real quick. Last point here. These guys were selected 240 and 246. Mitch's guy, his Twitter name is The Technician. And this Toney guy seems like he wins more with athleticism. So it almost seems like they're just, you know, two pass rushers. One is this. One is type A. One is type B. And if one of them makes the roster, they're kind of just splitting their chips.
Did you specifically read the Parsons tweet?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
William Bradley King's Twitter nickname is The Technician.
That's his Twitter handle. Yeah.
Interesting. So I think this is a guy who is.
Well, my Twitter nickname will be The Mathematician.
Right.
Like if we're calling him Gotcha because we're coming up with it. You can't declare your own nickname.
So I think this guy is a practice squad player this year with the potential for the future. In watching some of his highlights and reading some of the NFL, you know.
6'4", 250. And 3 years at Arkansas State before last year at Baylor.
They say he is basically strong as hell, but incredibly raw and has almost no pass rush moves other than straight bull rushes. And there are some really impressive rushes of the quarterback against in the Big 12 there where he just ran over offensive linemen on his way there.
And you see the guy who is renowned for swiping down as he's getting there and forcing fumbles, or is that Toney? I kind of forget.
That was Toney.
Okay.
But
sorry.
As far as, yeah, I think that WBK has
I love this podcast. I love the post-draft podcast for pulling stuff out of our BUTTs.
I mean, I think WBK has a path.
We also just make every three name player three initials. BSJ, WBK.
If I may, and if I had to wager, I'd say you're both wrong. WBK has 6 forced fumbles in 4 years. 1 last year at Baylor. Shaka Toney has 4 forced fumbles in 4 years at Penn State. 1 last year in Happy Valley. So,
all right, probably neither of us.
Now, what Instagram highlights look like versus what actual statistics tell you could be different. But, like, I wouldn't declare either of these guys as forced fumble machines.
I did not.
One person did.
Anyway, the bigger point I wanted to make about WBK, for those of you who have your tinfoil hats on, is spent 3 years at Arkansas State, so he's used to being a Red Wolf. Who knows how comfortable he'll be in the years to come?
I tweeted that. You should be on Twitter so you could see that.
I took your bit. Do you know how little fun Twitter is when you're not like interacting with people, when you're just trying to read?
Especially on draft weekend, so many followers
had. It just keeps going. It sucks. So I basically wasn't on Twitter at all today because it's a waste of my time. And if you're listening,
the burner account didn't pop.
If you're listening at twitter.com, get me the hell out of jail.
I promise you they're not listening.
I know.
Hopefully my daughters are asleep, though. That was a solid yell. Pete, you've been looking at a lot of things. Are you trying to defend this position, or are you just kind of giving up? Who is your
dude? I swear I read about somebody having just heavy hands chopping down around the edge. I'll get there eventually.
All right, cool. How'd that keep me updated?
I will.
Be honest, if you're spending this much time on it, it can't be very high up in their profile.
This is a serious one, so just put that down, Pete.
Okay.
You're fine. Where is, however you choose to answer this one, the biggest hole now? Because I do think in a lot of ways you're not going to say they drafted for need, but they filled a lot of their holes. I mean, their two biggest holes were linebacker and tackle, and those were their first two picks. Going forward, to me, it's pretty obvious that a true free safety is the biggest hole.
You stole mine.
Well, I think it's clearly that.
I don't know. Right. I think that's obvious. I don't know that there's an answer at left tackle. I think there's lots of competition, and that's what Ron wants, but Sidney Charles, is he fighting for the guard spot? Is Sam Cosmi really ready to take this thing? Cornelius Lucas is back. I don't know. And I wonder if we're underestimating the second tight end spot. I mean, Samus Reyes and John Bates. That ain't Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. You know what I mean? Like, that's a weird one to pull.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of Aaron Hernandez.
He's a good football player anyway.
I think linebacker's still a spot of need. I think Jamin Davis does a great job of filling one spot there, but he's not playing all three of those positions. And
talking to those guys, they really liked, and despite how much they complained about the linebacking group, maybe the first three quarters of the season, they thought they were getting good play from Bostic and Holcomb late in the year.
I think Bostic might be a one-year holdover, but I don't think you have real long-term answers there. And I want to see Holcomb continue to improve because I think we saw too many holes in his game last year to feel comfortable that that position is taken care of moving forward. So obviously free safety is the number one spot. I think linebacker is number two to me, only because they got by patchwork at left tackle last year, and I think that they only added to that this year. So I think your floor for where the offensive line is where it was last year. And if Cosmi pops, if Lucas continues to improve, maybe there's a higher ceiling for them.
My biggest hole, I think, is just that third corner spot. I mean, BSJ, there's talk about him moving to safety. How effective can he be as just the corner? And, you know, I love Jimmy Moreland. I love the story. I love him being a seventh rounder and still sticking around. But after Fuller and William Jackson, I'm just kind of a little hesitant still to commit to the depth behind him. So it feels like they have a lot of in-the-box type safeties and DBs with Cam Curl, Landon Collins, BSJ, Shazer Everett. All those dudes are good from, you know, the line of scrimmage to the first down marker. But who can be in the middle of the field? And that's kind of like the free safety too. But how many cover guys do they have that they can rely on? I just don't know if that's been fully answered yet.
All right. I think we're about wrapped up here, boys. Are there topics you guys want to discuss? I kind of think we're hitting everything, but I certainly the floor is open.
I kind of think so, too.
Okay. Any scale you want, and it doesn't have to be grades. Okay? Well, actually, before we get there, favorite pick. We've done this each night, but now you have all of the picks available at your disclosure. Mitch, you go ahead.
I like the Sam Cosmi pick a lot, and obviously astute listeners know that I like
just listeners, period. People with ears that
I think,
work.
I think the Jamin Davis pick is the best pick of the weekend. It's easy because he's the first rounder and he's probably the best player in this group. But I just think his floor is so much higher than any other pick that they've had, any other linebacker pick that Washington's had in a long time. And so I'm excited to see him. I don't know that he's ever going to be a superstar, but like we've said with other players in this draft, I think he's going to be a good, solid NFL starter for multiple years to come, and he shores up a big-time position of need.
A lot to choose from here. Favorite pick, I mean, Deami Brown is very trendy. I'll stick with BSJ. Where will he be? I don't know, but between Ron Rivera and Chris Harrison, it's tough because there's so many good position coaches. Pete Hayner with the tight ends, John Matsko at the O-line. You just trust these guys who get the most out of all of these prospects. But someone who's that physical, that good at tackling, there's questions about his speed and his true ball skills. I mean, he can break up passes, but how good is he at creating turnovers, etc.? I just feel like he can stick around and he'll be used in some creative ways. And the secondary overall just has a lot of interchangeable parts and seems to be working towards just a very modern type of alignment where, you know, they can just be used in a multitude of ways. So I like Benjamin Saint-Juste. S'il vous plaît, oui, oui.
I was obviously on Deami. I'm going with Gotcha. I like Derek Forrest, man, and I don't know.
Gotcha is such a good nickname.
I don't know why. It just, there's something.
A lot of awareness to him. He just knows how he has to make the roster.
Awareness and acceptance and eagerness, and he just reminds me of a dude that every coach wants. And this is so silly, but I was reading his bio. You know where he's from? And let me be sure.
They all run together by now.
JP's Googling for those who are listening.
No. I'm almost positive that he's from Columbus, Ohio. Now, I don't know enough about his family background and, like, who wants what. But if you're a football player and you're from Columbus, Ohio.
Confirmed he is.
All you want in the world is to play for Ohio State. And all anybody, and I don't know this, I didn't go there, but I've heard this significantly, that the folks, Ohio State never will give Cincinnati a game. They'll never give them a home and home or a 2-1 or anything. Because everybody that plays football at Cincinnati is entirely pissed off they didn't get to play at Ohio State. And I love those kind of stories, those kinds of motivations, chip on their shoulder guy. Now, every athlete tells you they have a chip on their shoulder, right? Like, everybody's like, oh, man, yeah, you know, I got left behind here. I got left behind there. But most of them are full of it. Look at this whole draft class. You have two big school guys in a Penn Stater and a Texas guy. But the Texas guy's a second-round O-lineman that doesn't really strike me in that regard. The Penn Stater fell to the seventh round. He almost wasn't drafted. And you have a Michigan guy for Pete, but he's the long snapper that
got kicked
off
his
scholarship. Like, this is not a kid that transferred from Florida State to Auburn because somebody came in his position and he didn't think that was going to happen.
No one's coddled or privileged here.
We don't know that.
Oh.
Listen, you play football in the Big Ten and the ACC and the SEC, you're still getting dope Nike gear or Under Armour gear or whatever it is. Like, there's still plenty of big name schools, but they're not the biggest. And I just think, I kind of think that's on purpose, man. And I think Derek Forrest might be like the epitomization of that. So there's my favorite pick.
I can't wait till we have him mic'd up at training camp and I just get to string together 1,000 gotchas Gotcha.
All right. I want to thank Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Want you to do the exact same thing. I want to thank everybody that listened. It's been a fun, fun draft. I feel like the end of these drafts are always like kind of monumental, man. I don't even know how many we've done at this point, but they're fun as hell. The numbers are through the roof. We appreciate you guys. Everybody that's listening, everybody that's telling a friend to listen.
Sean, Charlie, Jesse, thank you.
Yeah. Trio. To the Washington Football Team PR. They've been killing it. We appreciate it. To all the people on our back end, Ethan and Honker.
Oh, love those guys.
You know, everybody putting the videos together.
Joe and Brian.
Maddie Clicks. Appreciate all you guys.
Maddie P.
I want to – Amanda Zimmer for sure.
Love Zimmer.
Nina McNally. Tyler Byram, your guy.
Mike Wargo.
Shout out Wargo.
Love Wargo.
Wargo hadn't listened to this podcast in 3 years.
He care less about us.
I've been giving Pete a really hard time about his cat. I kind of think it's deserved, but whatever. That's up for debate. Hang up if you don't want to hear non-football stuff.
This is me picking up a second phone so I can hear this clearer.
I have an animal problem, and it only happened once, but I'm very worried it's going to happen again.
Me and Mitch's jaws are wide open.
We got a raccoon?
No. I'm not going to curse. A father-ducking woodpecker. Dude, I know it sounds absurd. So my neighbor, like the house right here to the right.
Correct.
Has been complaining about this woodpecker that lands on her chimney and blasts it.
That's not wood, Mr. Woodpecker.
Yo, as the sun comes up. And I'm like, that really sucks. And she's asking me, she's like, please let me know if you see it. And I'm like,
what are you going to do if you see the woodpecker?
You want me to get a BB gun? I don't know if you're allowed to shoot. Well, I don't even know if I'm allowed to shoot a BB gun in my neighborhood. And two, I don't know if you're allowed to, are woodpeckers effing endangered?
I could see it, yeah.
I don't know. I've always been relatively pro woodpecker.
I like woodpeckers.
I got no beef with woodpeckers.
This high motor on those birds.
Yo, the highest motor.
Yeah.
They're Teslas. This MF landed on my roof this morning. Oh, yeah. What time? So we got done last night, 1:30-ish?
Two in the morning, yeah.
I had a million cameos from my guy Nardinelli that I cranked out sitting in the car. I lay down on the couch, of course, to go to bed. Three. This father ducking woodpecker.
Tap, tap, tap.
5:45, 6 a.m. Sounded like a jackhammer in my brain. It was it's going right into the vents. Wakes up my oldest daughter, who then runs around. So then the whole house is up. It's 6 a.m.
Yeah. What's he trying to do? There's no way he can chip through brick, right?
I would hand feed this woodpecker cyanide. What is the most devastating thing that could happen to a woodpecker?
Sounds about right.
I would give, you know how mother birds feed a baby bird where they put the worm in their mouth and spit it into the bird?
Regurgitate it.
I would take shotgun shells and chew up the pellets and spit it into this woodpecker's mouth.
It's quite an image.
After one night.
Bro, this noise was cataclysmic.
For all of the animals that are listening, I am pro animal and please.
I
don't
love
come.
Animals. My please dog's right here. My dog's right here.
I know, but Pete has this cat problem. You have a woodpecker problem.
Yo,
I'm gonna have a groundhog problem.
There's trees all over.
Yeah, so much wood.
Go bang on a tree. Yo,
there's not a brick pecker. It's a woodpecker.
It's a woodpecker.
Go find some wood.
I don't want to feed you cyanide.
Yeah.
I want you to live a happy, healthy. I want
go
you to
peck all the wood you can peck.
Listen, I want you to peck wood while you're single. And then I want you to peck wood while you're married and raise a family of pecks.
Of little.
Pick your pepper.
Father pecking.
You want. But don't peck my house, you son of a peck. So, for all the hell I've been giving you about your cat, which you choose to
continue
feed and domicile.
I'm not going to give her cyanide, no.
How much brick would a woodpecker peck if a woodpecker could peck wood?
That was something, Mitch.
I'm sorry, JP.
That's not Macbeth tonight.
Sleep is so valuable.
Sleep is valuable, dude. All right. I wanted to say that. And do we want to do a cameo breakdown or no?
Let's do a cameo breakdown.
So Mitch's cameo intro video, I don't know how we discuss this.
Interesting.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of smiling, a lot of head twirling.
Yeah. Sassy.
Sassy is a good way of putting
Sassy
it.
Sassy Mitch.
Hey. I'm just here to have fun. Yo,
whatever you want, I'll do.
It's like it's an outtake from a bad impression of Girls Just Want to Have Fun. It's you imitating Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Here's the one question that matters. Peter, how many cameos have you had?
I was going to say, I hate your intro video, but the numbers don't lie.
The numbers don't lie, my friend.
I give it a little bit of time.
That's fine. As of right now, as you guys are giving me a hard time about it, the count is 1-0.
Might as well be infinity to zero.
And you know what? I hope that Pete gets 30 tomorrow. All of you guys, go sign up for Pete's cameo, and then come get mine.
Yeah.
Pete's cameo intro video is good.
Thank you.
Mitch is sassy.
It's a lot to take in.
I don't know the answer to this, and there's no way to know. It is 10:07 p.m.
Quicker than I thought we'd be, by the way.
Yeah, I take these notes. I'm a machine.
It's really nice.
Well, dude,
we didn't get off rail at all. Minimally.
Woodpecker. Brick pecker.
But the woodpecker was at the end when it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Now, it's now 10:08 p.m. Russell Westbrook has 23 points with a minute 23 left in the first half per Chase Hughes.
Follow him at Chase Hughes NBCS for all your Wizards
coverage. We don't know what's going to happen. We legit haven't made a decision. There's talk of the MGM. There's talk of going to MGM.
Like, dude, you guys always kill me for how I dress. I actually wore like my going out clothes. I have cool
shoes. You're wearing a Puma t-shirt.
Cool shoes, kind of a cool shirt. I want to go to MGM so bad.
You're wearing khakis and sneakers and a t-shirt.
That's better than sweatpants, a crappy shirt, and crappy flip-flops.
I'll turn this
podcast around in 30 minutes. We can be out of here by 10:45.
You're not wearing any of your girlfriend's clothes.
It's true. We haven't seen his drawers.
We haven't seen the underwear.
Yes.
Let's see it. Prove it.
That could get pretty sassy.
That looks like your underwear.
These are men's underwear.
Are you sure that's not like her sleepwear?
Let's finish this up.
Are you sure they're your men's underwear?
I took out $300. I want to go to MGM with you,
it's
dummies.
It's going to be $50 hand.
I don't care. Let's go. Let's wrap this up and we'll go.
Do you think we're going to go?
I don't know. I'll tell you the worst racket. I went and bought some hypothetical cigars for tonight, and the liquor store said that their credit card machine was down. So
cash
I had to
only?
Go take cash out of their $275 fee of
ATM. I'm not going to say where. I like Woodpeckers more than I like that liquor store.
That place is such a...
It's an absolute, like, I can only imagine when you're in the desert and you, like, if you're in Fallujah and you arrive to the first liquor store within 2,000 miles, I still think that liquor store on River Road is worse.
I agree.
They gouge you.
Gouged.
Let's go.
Let's go to MGM.
We will report on the next pod if we go to MGM or not.
Yeah, because you guys won't be
tweeting. I'll just say this.
I won't be able to tweet, but you guys will.
Last thing I'll say is, how many times do we have time for us three to go to MGM with no holds barred, no
issues? What do you think Mrs. Finley thinks?
She seemed cool with it. She had her night last night. She's probably asleep.
What do you think Mrs. Haley thinks?
Who cares?
Are you talking about his mom or Kim? Or Millie?
Kim was all for it. Kim was on another planet. Kim went back to her alma mater.
Millie.
Alma mater, excuse me.
Let's go.
Yes.
Thank you for listening. Shout out Horseman Automotive of Virginia. We got to go. Thank you for listening this whole weekend, man. I love when we still get to crank out these like hardcore dig in. It makes me excited for camp because I don't think we have another like one of these for a little while.
It's going to be a lot of shtick coming up in the next couple months.
No, dude. We got
you have a lot of interviews lined up.
We have a lot of really good
interviews. Can I tease a couple?
Sure.
We have a couple interviews with two very high priority coaches.
Why'd you say high like that?
And one very beloved player, and
he
that will be
sassy.
Will be rolled out in the next couple of days.
Just because you want somebody else to be sassy doesn't mean he was getting sassy.
I'm pushing for it.
He was being weird. He actually did a weird hand thing.
Like
that
a horns
up
thing.
Who it was after the pot. Let's go. Thank you for listening.
About Sam Cosby, weren't you?
I was.
Let's go. If you made it this far, meet us at MGM. I've always been relatively pro Woody Woodpecker.
I like Woodpeckers.
I got no beef with Woodpeckers.
Horseman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Horseman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.